All right. Well, now it's my pleasure to introduce a person who's been very important to this meeting. He's here all the time, and he always makes our coffee. So please welcome Joe. Wow. My name's Joe. Yes, I did. My name's Joe, and I am an alcoholic. Today, last couple days, I've been fighting this cold, and I got sick, and I was in, I just barely got out of my pajamas at some old behavior there for me, not getting out of my pajamas all day. I want to start out that, I started drinking real young. I started doing other things a little bit before that because when I was a youngster, I used to get tonsillitis all the time. And when I was 11, 12 years old, they sold Ventrum codeine over the counter, in a little green bottle. And I found myself going there a couple times a day doing that, so I didn't feel this in my throat. So I learned real early that, hey, shit works, but my first drunk, and I'll never forget my first drunk, because I did all the above. I got a couple fights, I pissed a bunch of girls off, and that's how I ended up in the fights. I threw up all over myself, I pissed myself, and all of it, shit myself too. I mean, that's how drunk I got. I blacked out in and out of consciousness through that night. I mean, I come out of a blackout that night with a fist in my face, and that's like, wow, what's really going on? But I had fun. I thought I had fun. Because see, the thing is about that is that was on a Friday night. And the next day was Saturday, and I spent the day cleaning up after myself and recuperating, and I was ready to go again Saturday night, and I did. And when I say that, that was a turning point for me. At that point, that Friday, that quinceañera, whatever it was, where they allowed me to drink and stuff, that was a turning point for me. That's when my mother couldn't tell me what to do no more. My stepfather couldn't tell me what to do no more because I wasn't afraid of him anymore. Police, judges, all that. It didn't. I was going to do what I wanted to do. I am an alcoholic. And when I say I'm an alcoholic, once I start, I can't stop. Okay? And usually what separates me from the alcohol and the other substances is, the stainless steel bracelets, really separate me from it, where I get a chance to have all these awakenings or whatever. I've had a lot of them, I'm never going to do this again. I'm not, lots of them. And my alcoholism started getting me in trouble real young. When I say real young, I mean young. I was probably about 15 and a half, 16 years old, not quite there. And me and a friend were stealing 2 gallons of wine apiece, And I guess the box boy went after the slowest person, and I guess that was me. And when he grabbed a hold of me, I slung a gallon of wine around, and I hit him in the face with it. And it broke. It made a mess out of them. And it started rocketing there. I did the time I was supposed to. And then, I got out in my 18th birthday. I was out. I was celebrating my 18th birthday. And, alcohol related. I shouldn't have been behind the wheel, for starters. I was what they called in high school a motorhead. I liked to make fast cars, fast bikes. Nothing was ever stock. And a police officer, he pulled up alongside of me, and I didn't pay attention. I wasn't paying. All I know is he boosted a little bit, and when the light turned green, I took off. You know, I ran 9 consecutive red lights without stopping. Didn't see the lights behind me, nothing. I was racing. And this fool wasn't catching me, you know. And he wasn't. You know, and I was living in Burbank at that time, and you know, I went over this overpass, Olive Boulevard, and one of the many overpasses in Burbank. And I it was a red light at the bottom of the overpass, and I stopped. You know, and at that time I think I had 15 or 20 cop cars chasing me. And they couldn't get close to me, they couldn't catch me. All they knew was I was going straight. I was going too fast to turn anywhere. But I was racing, you know, and then I made a left turn, and I pulled over. And see, what that did, that was right around probably 1975, 74, and that's when I got introduced to Rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous. And her name was Mary Grogan, the Honorable Judge Mary Grogan. I remember her name because how dare she give me 2 years of AA meetings every day of the week. You know, I had to sell my car to pay the fine. I was very upset at this judge. And, you know, I went to the meetings, and a lot of them were big like this. And they were just full of people, and you were allowed to smoke at the time. And it was a... I think honestly, and I was at least 30 meetings, and then I had some people I knew that were going, and they would take my card. You know, that stuff don't work. If you want to know, it doesn't work. Because I continued to drink, I continued to hurt myself. You know, that's all I can say is, you know, myself. You know, and I was that sick alcoholic that, you know, I wasn't hurting anybody. You know, I wasn't out, you know, hurting anybody, you know, but I was. I did a lot of damage. I did a lot of damage to my siblings, my brothers, my sisters, my sister. Well, no sisters. I did a lot of damage. I caused a lot of wreckage. And that's what I remember. And then right along that, I met my one and only wife. I've only been married once. I met her when I was just getting ready to turn 19, something like that, or 18, no, 19, yeah. I met her in 76, and I married her 6 months after I met her, and we stayed together for 24 years. She put up with me for 24 years, and when I said she put up with me, she put up with me. It was not nice. I was not nice. I wasn't dependable. I wasn't, I wasn't a good husband. You know, I used to pin a medal on my chest, this and that. I never cheated on her. But actually, in all honesty, I believe nobody else wanted nothing to do with me. Because that's the kind of drunk I was. Okay? You know, and she put up with it. She put up with it. And I raised two children while I was in the middle of my alcoholism. And you know, I can say I didn't do to them what was done to me by my first stepfather, my alcoholic stepfather. I also want to say I never knew my real dad. So, you know, I used to use the term red-headed stepchild when I used to blame that on my stepfather. I don't blame that on him anymore. You know, I own everything I've done. And that's been a key factor for me. But going back to my ex-wife, she put up with a lot. My neighbors put up with a lot, too. You know, and I used to think stupid things, like it'd be okay if I warned them that I was having a bunch of friends over, and their friends would come over. The next thing you know, the whole block is sewed up. And then, you know, people are from my party, they're finding people back in their backyards, in their doghouses, in their cars. Some of the stuff my ex-wife put up with. Because it was, you know, party. You know, and when I say it wasn't just alcohol, it was all the above. And, excuse me, and I caught this cold the last couple of days, but I had to, you know, I worked. I was a functioning alcoholic. I was under, I guess, what you would call a control thing. You know, I was controlling it or whatever. I was able to go to work every day. But that was because of the little white lines I used to smell in the morning. But to keep me going. So I, you know, and I worked and I worked and I worked and I acquired a lot of things. And, you know, and I have to say one thing, you know, my ex-wife could squeeze a dime out of a penny. Because I acquired all these things and I didn't never slow down. And she didn't work. You know, she was very, very good and frugal with money. And I don't know how she did it, because she didn't know what I was bringing home from one week to another. You know, sometimes she'd get a paycheck, sometimes there wouldn't be one there at all. You know, and she'd listen to my lame excuses, I lost it, or I lent it to a friend, I'll get it back in a couple of weeks. I had a whole bunch of reasons why I did not have my paycheck. Along with that, you know, I have two beautiful children, you know, and God has blessed me, regardless of what, you know, the lifestyle and stuff that I was living and they grew up in, and the stuff that they saw and heard. I'm very blessed, and even one of my children have this disease yet. I don't know. Because there was some wreckage there that I didn't realize until just recently. You know, and the neat thing about it is I didn't have to go out and drink over it. You know, Alcoholics Anonymous has given me a pretty good, solid foundation. But, you know, and along with that, you know, they're friends, and it's, you know, I liked everybody to be at my house, especially with my children. It was something that I was taught. You know, so everybody congregated, all the kids, and, you know, we had all the toys, you know, the dirt bikes, the water sleds, the boats, you know, the big house on the block, you know, the nice yard. I worked hard for a lot of stuff, but, you know, I got some, you know, I got some pictures and stuff like that, and, you know, sometimes I'll go through and reminisce, and there ain't too many pictures of me, and I don't have a Bud Light, you know, or a mixed drink in my hand. You know, I was that dad that built the room inside of a room. You know, I built my own personal room inside my garage. Nobody had a key to it but me. You know, those are things I did. I isolated. I scare them half to death. They find me passed out underneath the car, thinking the car fell on me. No, I just passed out. You know, had enough. Kind of sleep. And, you know, it caused a lot of wreckage, you know, and I think I said this, I'm repeating myself, that's okay, I can do that, it's my turn. but I hadn't realized it until a couple months ago. You know, because, you know, I say this with my heart. You know, God bless you people that are able to mend your fences or fix your bridge, and you have all the nice things, like, you know, you get to visit your kids right away. You get to, get to be a part of their lives right away. You know, see, I caused so much wreckage that hasn't happened for me yet. And I use the word yet, you know, and if I call my children, they'll talk to me. If I don't call my children, they won't call me. I have to own that. I did that. You know, at first, it hurt. It hurt a lot, you know. You know, I'd isolate, and I'd go in my room, and I'd cry about it, and why can't they see the good that I'm doing, this and that? No, they can't see the good that I'm doing, because they haven't gotten through the bad yet. I haven't proven myself, you know, and it's a long, for some of us, it's a long process, and it just so happens that's what it is for me. It's a long process. You know, and when the ex-wife, she finally left, my daughter turned 18 years old on her 18th birthday. As a matter of fact, this month, the 20th, almost 15 years ago. And, you know, and I used to use this. I literally came home to an empty house. But that's what she had to do. She had to wait. She had to seize her moment to get away from me. Because I also held her hostage. You know, and then she finally, she did, she made that break. I was, you know, I was mad. You know, and I was mad with her for a long time up until, geez, maybe 6-7 months ago. Where I'm going with this is I owned it. You know, I used to get up and I used to say I would piss on her and put her out if she was on fire. You know, it's not a good thing to say. It doesn't show that you have forgiven. You know, and I'm able to say today, I'd be the first one to put her out with water. You know, because, I come to realize that, you know, when I say I was not a nice person, I wasn't a nice person. And I did a lot of damage. I mean, you know, I didn't beat on her. I didn't, you know, but I did mentally, emotionally. I did all the worst things in the world I believe you could do. Because, you know, me personally, I'd rather take a physical beating than have somebody mess with this. It kills me. I'd rather have you come walk up and just say, get it over with. Wow. You know, it's like when you're a kid, you know, wait for that punishment, you know, sitting in a room for an hour, you know. Oh, no, dude, she left, and, you know, and stuff, we haven't spoken really since, unless it's involved with the children or something. And now that the children are all grown and out of the house, there's no reason for us to talk. And we don't. I'd like to. Let you know that. I'd like to. But she won't. And I don't blame her. I don't blame her. She doesn't know what's going to happen. She don't know who I am today. You know, and it's going to take time. You know, and these days I've got plenty of time. I've got plenty of time. That was just a little bit of what I did. You know, and when she left, it went helter skelter. And when I say helter skelter, it went from A to Z every day, nonstop. You know, forget about that job. I went in and said to my boss, that I worked there 11 years, you're going to lay me off today. I am not coming back to work. And I did that, and then I went on a little excursion, you know. When I acquired a lot of things. I acquired some homes, sold homes, bought homes, and just as a selfish alcoholic I am, she got nothing. She got her car. That was it. She got nothing. I made sure of it. And I didn't have a good lawyer. You know, I went to the library and I figured it out. I filled out the divorce papers. I filled them out. I put in front of her what I thought was fair. You know, and at the time she wasn't working. She couldn't, you know, and I was the one paying the debt. And, you know, after talking to her paralegal and her lawyer and stuff, and we sat and talked, did anyone talk to me? You know, I finally threw it at him. I said, look, this is the way it is. This is what's going to happen. And I'm not going to get in front of a judge. I'm not going to air out my dirty laundry. You can threaten me with jail. That's okay. I'll sit there. I don't have a problem with it. I'll sit there. And then she finally accepted my offer. You know, she didn't walk away without anything, but she didn't walk away with everything she wanted. And that's how selfish I was. I couldn't give her, we had three houses at the time. I could not give her a house to live in. No, you weren't getting nothing. You know, and then shortly after that, I started selling them, and I started living off them. And, you know, I was like that 14-year-old kid again, running wild. You know, it's like, I liken it to that first paycheck you made, you know, and wow, you thought it was a lot of money until you started spending it. You know? And it was gone in a day. You know? That's what I turned into. That kid again. But we're talking thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. And a lot of them went to legal fees. A lot of it. Keep me out of jail. Because I started getting caught again. I started getting drunk drivers again. I started... And, you know, that 24-year period, my ex-wife made sure, this is the kind of angel she was. She made sure I never drove drunk. Wherever we went, I would call her, she would come pick me up. You know, I was really blessed. I had a good woman, and I destroyed it. You know, and I don't share too much about that, but I thought, you know, this is my home group. And I thought I needed to come clean with a few things, you know. And one of them is, I wasn't the guy I am today. And I see it today. You know, there's things that I've learned, you know, from the big book, the 12 and 12, that I take to heart, you know, but again, I want to say it, and I was in and out of the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous from 75 on, you know, brief periods of time, you know, and a couple times I managed to gather up 3 years, 2 years, you know, and but I'll tell you why they didn't last long for you newcomers, is I never worked a step. You know, I never picked up the book and read it. I never sat down with somebody that has knowledge of the big book or has knowledge of life today. You know, I never did those things, you know, and it doesn't work. You know, and then I've tried ridiculous things like sponsoring myself. Excuse my French, I had an asshole sponsoring me, you know? You know, because it didn't work. It you know, and I'm saying this because it doesn't work. It doesn't work, and you can believe me or not. I know it doesn't work. It didn't work for me. If you think it can work for you like that, try it. I, you know, but I'm... You know, it's like the readings. Go out and try a little controlled drinking. I tried that too. It doesn't work. You know, sit there and but today, you know, it's like, in this journey, this last almost 3 years, February I'll have 3 years. But I have seen, you know, and I'm not trying to make anybody feel uncomfortable or anything. I have seen more different avenues or versions and stuff. And you know, my pea brain, my little brain, all it can come up with is that, okay, we got to do these steps. That's what it boils down to. Got to do these steps. I got to be the best person I can be. And when I say the best person I can be, I really try to watch my language. I had a little episode Monday or something like that, but I did that. I bit my nose off to spite my face, and which made me look stupid. I already know that. You know, nobody has to tell me that. I know that. But I try to watch my language. When I'm with the fellas and it's just fellas, I'm off the hook. I'm a nasty-minded person. Okay? And I come up with some off-the-wall stuff. Okay? But, you know, what I've learned is that there's a right time and a wrong time to do these things. You know? And sometimes my brain doesn't think right, and I'll do it at the wrong time, too. Not think about who's around me or if a child's around me or anything like that, because I have this problem. I can't see below. You know, I don't know. You know, I'm always looking ahead, looking up, looking forward, you know. And I've learned. The fine ladies that I've met in Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, I thank them all. And a lot of you, they here. You know, they taught me how to treat them. They weren't a possession. They weren't an object. They're a human being. You know, I learned how to do that, and it's great. You know, and when I see things happen like that, where you women are being disrespected and it's cuckoo, so to speak, I don't like it, you know. And one of my mentors is sitting here tonight too. I learned something from him today, or not today, in this last couple weeks. He says, I know this lady, but I'm going to stand up and I'm going to speak for you. Because she shouldn't have to deal with somebody's lewd remarks, pressure. Y'all deserve to recover just like us men do. You know, and I say this, and I get upset about it, and I don't like to get upset because I start leaking, but I care today. That's the neat thing about it is I feel these emotions that are coming up right now in my eyes. I feel like they're glass right now because they're getting ready to drop. But you know, I try to act in a way that I would want to be treated if the shoe was on the other foot. You know, and I've learned how to do that. You know, because sometimes I do disrespect, and that would be a lie. But I try not to disrespect anymore. Because Monday I disrespected a couple ladies, and, you know, and it wasn't right. But I was trying to get a point across. And I don't think I did, but it's okay. and another thing that I try to do is I try to be active. And when I say active, I am. I know a lot of people in this room, man, and it's great to have that support. And I mean this. I mean this from here. Because I haven't had anything like this. I know each and every one of you is out there, that even the ones that don't know me, love me because I'm an alcoholic. But there's a lot of you out there that I do know, and I do know personally. And you're here to listen to me, and it's great. You know, at first I thought I was going to be uncomfortable, and I didn't think about what I was going to say today at all day. I woke up this morning and I said, you know, I'm giving it to you, God. I'm going to talk from my heart, and I'm going to go from there. You know, but I love Alcoholics Anonymous. I love my recovery. I do good. You know, a lot of you have heard this, and I like to share this because, see, it was an act of kindness that turned me around. An act of kindness by law enforcement, by a judge. And I will be forever grateful to that man. You know, because by him coming up, shaking my hand, and saying, how are you doing, and meaning it, it turned me around. It flip-flopped me. I couldn't believe it. I mean, I walked away, and I stopped, and I stopped and two doors down, and I looked in the window, and I started crying. I had to get off Main Street. I was on Main Street, you know, and I made it back home, and I started that day. I try. I do my best to read my big book every day. I started that day when I got home. It was about 10 o'clock in the morning, or 1 o'clock in the afternoon, excuse me. And I started being willing to do what the providers were asking me to do. They weren't asking me. At first I thought, well, no, man, they're asking me to turn my back on my best friend or my homie or my bro or and which it was. But see, it had stopped, alcohol stopped working for me long, long time back. Stopped working for me. I couldn't drink enough. I couldn't use enough. I just couldn't. There wasn't enough because I started feeling these feelings while I was drunk. While I was loaded, I started feeling them all over again. They would come up while I'm drunk. And now I'm an angry drunk. And that's not good to deal with. I became willing to do what my provider, New Heights. I became willing to do the writing assignments, the paperwork. I started doing it. And it started getting, happier. This process, I started getting happier. I started smiling. You know, and I say, this is my home group. I think I've missed one meeting in almost 3 years here. I love this group. You know, Bill asked me one time before, and I was afraid, paranoia, stage fright, whatever you want to call it, but, this is a little nervous, This is a big group, But I think I'm up here for the right reasons. I'm not a big book scholar. You got to tell me what page it's on most of the time. But there's things that people have told me, like for acceptance. 417, and that's in the fourth edition, I believe it is. I don't know, third or fourth, I don't know. But 417, and then when somebody gets up and they quote a page, that's another thing too, is I just don't take what somebody says up here at face value, especially when it comes to the big book. If they tell you that this is on page so-and-so and they paraphrase it, you better believe I write that page down. I go home and I look at it. Even though I might have read it before, that's how serious my sobriety is to me today. Because I try not to misrepresent. Sometimes I say things that come out the wrong way. That's a little bit of wreckage. But I don't want to ever misrepresent Alcoholics Anonymous. because you don't know who you hurt. And when I say misrepresent, I mean by your, not so much your appearance, I don't care what you look like, but your actions, how you handle yourself, how you treat the opposite sex, gentlemen, how the opposite sex treats us. You know, you ladies have a responsibility in teaching us men how to be gentlemen. I believe that. You know, and vice versa. It's our responsibility to say, hey, that's inappropriate. Please don't do that. As gentlemen. And this is stuff that I've learned. You know, this is stuff that I try to do. And I try not to see ill of anybody. Sometimes it happens. I'm only human. I don't walk on water. I have to tell the truth. It happens a lot, really. You know? But I've learned this neat technique. Forgive immediately. Immediately. I try not to hold any kind of reservation or animosity towards anybody. You know, relationship might not be the same afterwards, but I try to immediately forgive and be cordial. Immediately. My life depends on it. You know, immediately. You know, and that's what I do. You know, I mean, those are just some of the things that I've learned. You know, and what's oddly enough is, you know, I haven't finished my 12 steps yet. You know, I did a bad thing. You know, I blasted through the, you know, I went through the first three and I decided I need to take the break on the fourth step. And that was the wrong thing to do. I haven't been able to motivate it since. And I think I'm just going to go to my sponsor and say, wait a minute, let's just start all over again and get that momentum up and get through it. You see, if I don't do it, I know it's waiting for me out there. I'm soft and pudgy right now. My disease isn't. And I know that from experience. And you said 10 minutes? I'm out, huh? Oh, I'm good? Okay. You said I'm good. I did it. No. I'm gonna wind up saying this, you know. Everybody out there, I love this group. I love Alcoholics Anonymous. And a lot of people in this room, I have a lot of respect for. I mean, they were here when I first tried this. They were here I remember this one incident. They wanted to put me in a residential, and I said, no, because I can't. I'm sorry, I can't do residential. And, we never go back on our word, you know. And I said, that's all fine. I said, you know, but I'm not going to do residential. You know, and reason being is I don't know if anybody else, and this is just me. Now, this is probably one of my character defects, is that, you know, we're in a good place. We're in that residential place. I'm talking about myself too, because I get complacent too when I got it soft and cushy, you know, and I'm not laying on a half-inch mat and, you know, using a wet damp towel for a pillow and hopefully they don't catch the extra ones. All right? That comfortable spot that we get in there, Bob Wiley's. But, you know, as soon as we get into a residential, it's like, oh, they're not going to make me do this. I'm not going to do that. Or I don't have to do this. I don't have to do that. I've done this. And I caught myself doing it. You see, therefore I had problems with it. You know, and then I have a problem too where, you know, hey, shut up, go back to jail. And I caught that. That's always nice to hear, huh? You know, hey, shut up, go back to jail. Let's see how big they really are, you know? And so, you know, because I, Prop 36, I had to do Prop 36. And it took me 5 years to do Prop 36. I could not get the 90-day program in an English-speaking program. I had to do it in all Spanish. Why? Let me tell you why. I didn't understand what they were saying, or what they were arguing about, or what they were sniveling about. I just had me and my big book, and one of the counselors. Okay? They don't have any more all Spanish groups around here anymore, I don't think. But, you know, that's how I managed to do it. Okay? 5 years. I mean, I've been in trying to do it, you know, up and down the state. It took me 5 years just to get the 90-day in-house program for Prop 36. So I'm a pretty stubborn person. I don't like to admit things. I'm going to close with this. If any of you have the symptoms that I have, you know, you're strong-willed, you don't care about people when you drink, you don't even like yourself. You might tell people, oh yeah, I love me, I love myself. If you're anything like that, and you don't like taking corrective criticism, I used to hate that. Hated it. Who the hell are you? You know? That's where my brain went. I may not have said it right off, but that's what, you know, you saw it in my face. I know you did. But any of those that gave it to me, and there's a few here that have. And, but if you suffer like that, and get on your knees, your higher power. Because I had to ask him for the willingness to do this program. And I do have a higher power. And I just now started seeking him earnestly again to do his will. And, his will is for me to be here and to stay sober. Today. My name is Joe and I am an alcoholic. Thank you.